Mr. Rabbit?
No questions.
Counsel?
No questions. Thanks.
All right. Thank you. We thank you, gentlemen. If you'll stand by, we'll see if there's anyone here that has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2007-27, Justice Farms, LLC? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to?
Oh, we got somebody coming up.
Which way are you? For or against?
For.
Okay, you almost missed it, but go ahead.
I stood up. For the record, my name's Andy Cannon. I'm with Chagrin Gas Company, a locally owned and operated propane company here in Sussex County. And also, my family and I have been frequent visitors of Chickberry Farms. We've been very blessed to build a relationship with Robin and Ed Petty, as well as a lot of other families and community, you know, within the community. I applaud them in taking their vision, educating themselves, and seeking expert advice to bring what I feel is truly a welcoming community to Sussex County. In addition to the thought process with the buffers, stormwater management, the open areas, they've also thought about the preservation of the wetlands and the forests to maintain the current landscape in this rural area. I feel that is very important in the approval process for a community like this. And the project itself is one, again, that was a vision. And it's very encouraging to see, you know, families step up and bring this to this committee for your consideration. As a local propane provider, we look forward to the opportunity of working with them for the potential metered propane system to provide service to the community rather than having individual tanks, as well as bring an innovative, high-efficiency, green energy appliances like the Rinnai water heaters to this project. I thank you for the opportunity to speak and for your consideration.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else in favor? Okay, Ballaway in the back in the black, and then the lady in red will be next, followed by the gentleman in the tan suit. You all be sure and remember that, because I'll forget by the time she gets done.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Lisa Phillips, and I actually live in the development Shiloh Acres, which some of the property owners will be backing up to this project. I have known Robin and Eddie for, 40-some years. I actually have enjoyed Chickberry Farms, going there. I've had kids graduate, had graduation parties there, have had a lovely time. I am probably one of the only neighbors in that development that is actually for this. I actually lived in Shiloh Farms for 10 years, which didn't exist until 17 years ago. I've actually lived in Shiloh Acres for 6 years now. So born, bred right here in Sussex County, have no intentions on if God sees that my husband stays where he is, we won't be leaving the area. I know that you're going to hear a lot of things against it. I just wanted to speak out in favor of Robin and Eddie in the project they have. I think their vision is awesome. I'm actually excited about the possibility of even potentially selling my house if the market goes to that. So I just wanted to keep for you to keep in mind and keep an open mind about, although you're going to hear a lot of my neighbors say that they don't like the idea, you actually have a neighbor in the development that is actually for the idea because I think it's awesome.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Good evening. My name is Sherry Cannon, and I am here as a real estate agent and also as a friend of Eddie and Robin's. And yes, that is my husband that also spoke. As he has said, we have had the fortune of having our children participate in Chickberry. I'm not originally from this area, and I find it a very unique opportunity for the children in this area. Have been an educator in this area as well, and it's just a wonderful thing that they do there. As a realtor, I see it as a great opportunity for the Western Sussex area. We do see things like this on the eastern side of the county. They have taken great strides to make sure that they are meeting above and beyond the expectations of the planning and zoning. I see it only as a golden opportunity. It's minimally invasive to the area that it's developing in. As it's already been explained, a lot of the area has already been cleared from timber, and what is being left behind is basically not being touched. Plus the buffers, the attractiveness of the homes, the fact that they will have to be approved. You're not going to be riding down the road and seeing your cookie-cutter housing development that is typical on the western side of the county. It's just something that's going to be special, offer a lot of opportunities, a great family connection, more of a community opportunity than what we typically see in this area. So I would also implore you all to consider this as a great benefit to our area. Thank you.
And we thank you. All right, sir.
Yes, my name is Barry Dukes, and I reside in Laurel, Delaware. Eddie had mentioned in his opening statements the possibility of a church being on that site, and I'm the recipient of an offer from the Justice family for our church. I'm the senior pastor of Messiah's Vineyard Church in Laurel, and they have approached us and given us the opportunity to look at that site with the possibility of putting a church on that site in a future time. And I've been a recipient of the benefits of Chick Berry with my family, several events that I've been to there, and I enjoy the atmosphere every time I go. It's a very family-oriented and morally sound atmosphere when I go, and I've enjoyed the friendship with Robin and Eddie over the years, and I look forward to a good future with them. I see the community that they've described as a community which would lend itself to draw families. And I think that's so important in today's day and time. Just as a pastor, and should God permit that we could put a church on that property in the future, I just see great ministry possibilities that we could offer that community spiritual care, spiritual nurturing and support that so many families need in today's day and time. So we're excited about the possibility of that community coming and about the possibility of being able to minister there. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else wish to speak in favor?
Good evening, gentlemen. I'm Kevin Burdett with McCrone Incorporated, 26177 Deep Branch Road. I have not been retained to be here this evening by the justices, and I do wish to make that clear up front. However, we are doing other work for the justices, and I heard it mentioned here tonight, and I wanted to come up and confirm we are working on a church site design adjacent to this property, not within this property. We are also working on a preschool design elsewhere on the Justice family farms, along with a farm dining facility and expansion. Those will all come back in under other documents at a later date, as would be applicable. One of the reasons I did want to come up, though, was to clear up that issue to make sure there was no confusion it was on this site. It is not. In working with the justices on 3 and 4 projects now, it has become very, very clear that in Mr. Justice's mind, farm quality is job one. We have clients, some are probably listening tonight, some I'll be shot with in the morning, who if they can save a dollar, that's what they will do to make an extra dollar. I can honestly stand here before you this evening and say that is not the case with the justices. We have presented them options that are slightly more costly but more beneficial, and they have been very quick to understand the importance of that. And as I said earlier, agriculture to them is job one. And every project we're working on with them, they want to make sure it has that agricultural theme and feeling and sense about it. The other thing I will say to you gentlemen is, 2 weeks ago, I guess it's been now, we had the opportunity to testify before the council on the cluster ordinance superior design ordinance that was just passed last Tuesday. I think you'll find many of the features that reside here on this drawing this evening do in fact meet that ordinance. So I thank you very much. Have a good evening.
All right, sir. Thank you. Over here, I believe.
Hello, I'm Lawrence Justice Sr. Guess I'm the one that started the whole ball rolling, because that is my son. And I just wanted to say this is going to be a development to be proud of, and we don't want anything that's not going to be good. And you've heard all the different scenarios tonight, and I think I would approve it, and I think it'd be a good thing. Thank you very much.
All right, sir, we thank you.
Anyone else wish to speak in favor? Okay, is there anyone who would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2007-27? We'll start right up front here with you, sir.
My name's Carl Dorsey. I live on Shiloh Way. If you're not familiar with Shiloh Way, it is a U-type road that has an entrance, two entrances and exits on Hitch Pond. I was the former president of the Homeowners Association, and I'm speaking for myself and quite a few of the neighbors. But the problem is Hitch Pond Road is a narrow road. It's used primarily as a cutoff from 24 to Shiloh Church to get to Seaford or areas northwest. There's only a few residents there. Actually, there's maybe five that live on Hitch Pond. But the problem is that it's a cutoff for trucks, trailers, and it's very narrow. Even when the school buses come up and down, there's nowhere to go. You got to pull off a little bit to get out. And we have this year applied to the county to get the speed limit reduced down to 45 miles an hour or somewhere in that area, because people fly from 24 up to the S-curve, and then they, as soon as they get straightened out, they're right on it all the way to Shiloh Church, and it's dangerous. And with all this extra traffic, I have a report, I don't know how accurate it is, but it says it's going to be approximately 5,000 more vehicle trips in and out of there when it's fully developed. Now, that road wouldn't heal. He said that they're going to develop it up or repair it 3,600 feet to the S-curve. So what about all the way to Shiloh Church? That's the problem I have with it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Who's next? Yes, ma'am, in the beige. That would be you. Standing up. Come on down.
Hi, I'm Jan Otwell, and I live on Johnson Road in Laurel. But my parents reside at the corner of Hitch Pond Road and Route 24.
Okay.
And I'm kind of curious because they said they were going to widen the intersection or widen 24 for the traffic. It's kind of hard to hear back there.
Okay.
So I'm just kind of looking out for my parents as far as, are they going to lose part of their front yard to widen 24? And then are they going to lose part of their yard because they're saying that the Tidewater Utilities is going to be 2 miles away? So I've heard it's going to be go down Hitch Pond Road, then go down Trap Pond Road, around Trustin's Pond, and on Wooten Road or Trustin's Pond Road. So that's the 2 miles. So down Hitch Pond Road is my parents, and then on 24, I'm kind of wondering just how much land will they lose off of their property, and will the Tidewater, how will it go, like, through Hitch Pond to get from where it's going to be located to this community?
Okay. All right. Anything else? That it? Mr. Crouch, you want to answer the lady's question, please?
Yes. The utilities for sewer and water, which is going to the facilities, which is over, you know, 2 miles
away. Kind of speak a little more closely into the microphone because they have difficulty hearing.
Sorry. That's 2 miles away, plus or minus. Everything will be within the right of way. So there would, you know, they have to go through proper procedures for sewer and water.
Within the state's right of way on the road, so no private individual's property is going to be impacted. Is
that is correct. And
so they won't lose anything. They don't give up any land.
And the road improvements, too, that are specified in the traffic impact study, those improvements are with the additional lanes will be within the state right away.
Okay.
So there would be no one taking land based on what's specified in the traffic impact study and per the utility construction permits, which we'll have to go through for the sewer and water permits.
All right, sir. Thank you. Okay, who's next? Right up here in the front.
Hi, my name's Pat Malinchak, and I live in Shiloh Acres. And they were talking about buffers everywhere, but between this property and Shiloh Acres, how big of a buffer is that going to be? And also, have they considered the school system in Laurel? And are they going to handle all these extra families with all these children that move in? And that's all.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Kratz, would you respond to the buffer question, please?
Yes. The buffer between Shiloh and the proposed subdivision will be 50 feet. And as expressed to Mr. Johnson, there's an existing tree line there now, and there'd be no problem in extending some additional vegetation in there. We tried to want to keep the vegetation there that was there now, but if it's not as dense as folks would like, then we'd be more than happy to extend just a planted buffer within that 50-foot buffer as well.
All right, thank you. Mr. Lank, was the school district contacted in the process, and did we, either through the PLUS or what we do, or was it the applicant's obligation to contact them? Or
I don't have the list in front of me, but normally we do try to contact school districts for comments.
Okay. And did we receive anything from the Laurel School District?
I have to check.
Mr. Abbott, if you... We did not receive a...
They were sent a notice of the public hearing.
They were sent a notice, but they did not respond. Okay. There's your
department,
answer.
Department of Education responds through the PLUS process.
Okay.
That's part of the booklet.
Okay. All right. Yes, ma'am, you're next.
Good evening. I'm Donna Reed, and I live just around the corner from the Justices. We've been friends for many years since we moved out there. I do have some questions. Someone just asked about the impact on the school district. Well, Mr. Justice is on the Laurel School Board, so in a way, I kind of think maybe that's a conflict of interest, but, that's neither here nor there. But I'm also a school bus contractor. I am a farmer, and I live just down the road. I live just around the corner from there on Johnson Road. In fact, on the other one, you could see my farm, the aerial view, and we have airplanes, too. So I'm concerned about the size of the lots and the size of the houses that are going to be in there. It's 300 and some acres. There is a lot of land that is set aside for preservation and not to be, built on and all. But there is still, 500 and some houses eventually are going to go on what's left of maybe 200 acres of land. What is actually the lot sizes? There was a lot of people that came up, and, I've been to Chickberry Farms. I've been to a lot of activities there. It is wonderful for the community. It is wonderful for the children. I am a school bus contractor. I have been for 16 years. In fact, for 13 of the 16 years that I've been a school bus contractor, I've been a driver for 18. But of the 16 years that I've been a school bus contractor, 13 of the years were middle school right there. I mean, right down my road, down Shiloh Church Road, down Hitch Pond Road. And I want to tell you, speaking as a bus driver and speaking as someone who has come down Hitch Pond Road to pick up students, both at Shiloh Acres there and children that live down along the houses between Shiloh Acres and Route 24, that is probably one of the most dangerous curves. I mean, it's 90-degree turn curves there. I invite any of you gentlemen to come and actually see the site, see the area. I live right on Johnson Road and all, but people need to, I've been to Chickberry Farms, and, I've taken groups of children there and all, and it's a wonderful place. The justices are wonderful people. But Chickberry Farms and Chickberry Fields are two totally different things. I mean, Eddie was saying that people love, when they come to his place, they say they wish they lived there. you know, people come to my farm. Most of my family is from the Baltimore area, Westminster area, Philadelphia area, and all. When they come to my place, they say, oh, we wish we lived here. You know, this is wonderful. Well, they probably wouldn't if they had to pick up chickens every day and cut all the grass that we have to cut. I mean, we have 8.5 acres of grass to cut and, you know, 45,000 chickens to pick up and lots of things to maintain and all. You know, a working farm is very different from a John Deere planned community, that the lots are going to be less than 1/4 acre. I mean, that's a lot of people to put in an area this size in a basically a farming community that, you know, and I can't say that I've lived there all my life. I haven't. I was born and raised near Ellicott City, Maryland, and, you know, I moved down here 35 years ago. So I guess I've kind of paid my dues in Sussex County now. You know, I have a chicken farm, and I'm a chicken farm and school bus driving redneck. And
but you haven't lost that accent.
No, this is actually a Howard County accent. It's not a Sussex County accent.
There is a Howard County accent.
Yep. But, you know, I like the area that we live in. You know, this, and I graduated from Mount Hebron High School in near Ellicott City, Maryland, before Columbia. I mean, that's giving my age away, but if y'all know where Columbia is, Columbia was started the year that I graduated. There was nothing in Howard County but dairy farms and orchards. I mean, people from Baltimore County thought we went to school on our tractors. But this isn't, you know, this isn't up around the city. It's like, you know, and I realize we're awfully close to the beach, and all the beach is coming to us, but, you know, we in our area would, you know, really like to preserve our area as it is. And I'm not against the concept. I'm just basically against the density and the impact that it's going to have on our area. Out where we live now, the traffic has gotten terrible. I just can't imagine putting another 3,000 people out there. Thank you for your time.
You're welcome. Thank you. In response to the education question, Mr. Johnson very kindly looked up the plus response comments that come from the State Department of Education. Makes the following observations. They say, using the DOE standard formula, this development will generate an estimated 286 students. DOE records indicate that the Laurel School District elementary schools are not at or beyond 100% of current capacity based on September 30, 2006, and that's based on when this report was done, elementary enrollment. Same for secondary schools. However, they do go on to say that the district does not have adequate student capacity to accommodate the additional students likely to be generated from this development. Now, understand, this is Department of Education's opinion, their analysis. There are those that might beg to differ with them or might not. The department has requested the developer contact the Laurel School District Administration to discuss the issue. The developer responded that they acknowledge the comments and request by the DOE, and that they will send the school district a plan for the proposed subdivision for comments and or a meeting. And I would ask, gentlemen, has that taken place? Mr. Crouch, has that taken place at this point? Or
no, but just like I went on record before, I mean, part of the process, especially when we go through DLDOT with the bus stop and everything, we have to meet with them. So, I mean, it will...
You know, well, if folks were interested in what had been said to this point, and since the school district itself apparently has not responded, and folks typically they don't, they get asked, but quite often we do not get a response from them. I don't know what happens to the paperwork, it gets lost or whatever, but that's not unusual to not hear from them. I doubt very seriously that it has anything to do with Mr. Justice's position on the school board. He's just one of five.
It normally comes from the transportation supervisor.
Actually, yeah, it's from it actually comes from the transportation supervisor if it comes at all. So, you know, so. Okay, who's next? Who would like to speak next? Over here, we'll try one over on this side. Small man in their black shirt.
Good evening, gentlemen. My name is Mark Fry. I also live in Shallow Acres, too, and being active vice president of our association.
Okay.
My concern would be to Mr. Justice, who I never met, but how you do.
Okay, you guys can do that later on. You need to talk to me right now, okay?
We have association meetings, and my answer would be, how would he be able to control this size of community and run an efficient association that will do what he says they're going to do?
Same way you do yours.
Well, let me tell you, it took us 2 years to try to get our drainage pond straightened out, and that was just a matter of just talking to Demrick to get it worked out.
There you go.
But I also live, and I have my neighbors that are here with me. This right here is my home. I have a neighbor here that lives here, and another one, a couple that's here, live next to me here, and I'm pretty sure Ray's here somewhere.
Okay.
Our concern is we have such isolation now, and serenity is peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
Now, our only concern is, I know my concern is, they talk about a 50-foot buffer in here, and that when they clear this, they cleared it all the way to the property line. I mean, them tractors come running up right up to my backyard, and I was like, what the heck is going on? When they left a bunch of shrubs and bushes all laying in there. It's all grown up now. But if you were going to put a group of homes across here on our back doorstep, a 50-foot buffer to me wouldn't be enough to what we're used to living in the past 7 or 8 years. Maybe a bigger buffer with some more shrubs or vegetation in there to make it more pleasable to us along here. And another reason is the roads, and he's already mentioned it. It's terrible. I mean, the sides of the roads are all ate up. You got to get off the road for the buses, the big tractor trailers. We turn out of our neighborhood of Shallow Acres. You look down the street, by the time you get up the street, you got a truck right on your butt. Now, I don't know where he came from, but he was coming from somewhere. And he'll ride you all the way up to Shallow Acres, too. Now, I'm sure this looks like an extra plan, and I'm sure a lot of people here approve of it, but my neighborhood, we have some hardworking people. We keep our neighborhood up, and we're very proud of the way we keep our neighborhood. And all I can say is, if you do approve this, I hope that whoever's in charge of this will do the same thing that we do with our neighborhood, just try to keep it presentable and up to speed. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Appreciate your comments and your patience. Okay, who's next? All the way over here. Yes, ma'am, in the gray.
Hi, I'm Christine Collins, and I live in Shiloh Acres, too. And I'm all the way back in the corner, and I have a 1.5-acre lot. And when I think about the density in this new community, it is very scary because we are talking very close proximity with all these homes, all these children. I mean, it may sound great when you're talking about Bear Trap. That's down at the beach. The people are paying prime dollar to have a nice home on small land. They don't want to maintain anything. They want to be able to spend their time out on the beach doing their thing. This is totally different. So it comes down to my real problem is maintaining the property value as far as the buffer and the density in that. If they weren't trying to put so many homes in there, the idea is great. I'm not opposed to development. But when you're proposing something like this in a farming community, it's difficult. Those are my concerns.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate your comments. Okay, anybody else? Yes, sir, over here. Okay.
Name's Neil Huber. I've got so many questions, I don't know where to start.
Okay. Beginning. Start at the beginning.
For one thing, well, can I show you where my house is?
Hey, okay. In fact, we would like that.
This is my property right here.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Right now, there's a field behind me.
Right.
Okay? Which I don't know. It looks like to me there's going to be a house right about where my swimming pool is. Okay?
Well, be kind
I don't
hard
know how big the buffer's going to be, if they're going to put a fence up back here, or what's going to happen. Okay, that's one. Next thing, they're talking about building this. He's talking about putting a pump station here. Okay, then he's going to put a well over here for a firehouse. Then he's going to turn around and put something else over here for kids to play on. You're running out of land. You know, for what you're talking about doing, you're running out of land. Because I know everything's a proposal and all that stuff. I mean, okay, it's a great idea, okay? All these people that are here live here, here, and here, okay? They own all this over here. Why don't they move this over here and let him deal with it on his road instead of dealing with it on our road?
Okay,
now, as far as the buffer, can somebody give me an answer? I mean, you know, and the other thing, like I said, all those houses are going to be built right there, okay. Like right behind me,
okay?
I have three grandchildren, okay, which I know. Now, you're talking about bringing in, what, 200, they said, what'd you say, 286 more? So, you know, what's going to be the buffer between my house or my property?
Okay,
and
sir,
what's
sir,
going
sir,
on
sir,
out there?
Sir, you need to address your comments
I'm sorry.
To me. Okay, and I will get an answer to your question for you, but I'm waiting. I'm going to wait till you're done, and if anything else comes up, then we're going to let them answer your question.
Okay.
Okay.
I did approach Mr. Justice about I didn't know any of this was going on.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
To about I wanted to try to buy another acre,
uh-huh.
And behind me from now there's a ditch. There's a tax ditch, which everybody talked about that goes. Actually is my property line all the way around.
I see.
Okay. Now there was a woods in the end. This is a flood zone right in here, according to county. Okay. Because of this tax ditch, I would imagine. Okay. But anyway, there was a woods here, okay, took this woods out, straight on up to the property line. Okay, so like I said, there's nothing across there now. Before they start building all this, is something going to be put in there so when all the dust and dirt and everything, when they start tearing stuff up, is it going to come through? I mean, I'm dealing with it now as it is because I know it's agricultural land. I signed that paper that said,
right.
You know, even though it's agriculture, you can't say anything about the smell and all this.
Right.
But building all these houses, this isn't agriculture.
Correct.
Now, this is residential, and it's supposed to be agricultural land. So, you know, if you could give me some of those answers, I'd appreciate it.
I'll see if I can get some for you. Thank you.
The buffer is at least 100 feet wide behind Mr. Huber's house or property, according to the map.
All right.
All the way across?
It appears to be at least 100.
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
This is where I live.
Okay, I need
just
you come up and give us.
Okay. And this is a little.
Ma'am,
boy.
Ma'am, I need you come up. Give us your name.
Okay, Dolores Breitweiser. Right there. That is not a straight road. It curves.
Okay.
It's an S. It goes a little bit, and then pew, and then boom. Like that. It is no way straight. And that's why we have a hard time with the traffic. But it's private and it's quiet. And that's the reason why most of us live there. We don't want all this stuff. Mm-hmm. A small development, I think everybody could kind of handle. But this big stuff that they're talking about, we don't want that. If they want to go someplace or travel, take a trip, that's fine. And I also noticed that the people that approve of it all know them personally. They don't live on our street or in our neighborhood. So that's kind of a biased opinion.
Mm-hmm.
on their part. If you asked everybody in this room who lives here, I bet you it would feel pretty much the same way I do. We moved there to be private and quiet and have a nice, quiet life. This won't happen anymore. Thank you.
Anybody else? Yes, sir.
Good evening. My name is Jeff Webb. The reason I'm here is my parents actually own the property right across Route 24 from this.
Okay, you want to point it to us for us?
Basically, their property runs from the intersection at Hitch Pond Road almost the entire length of this proposed project. Obviously, against project being a native Sussex County, and I don't like to see a lot of development. Mr. Lank actually asked a couple of questions that I had. While this presentation was going on, it was frequently mentioned that water is going to be provided by Tidewater, but there is no one here from Tidewater to answer questions or provide any information on that.
What kind of questions would you have, sir? Because I imagine there are people here that could answer them for
probably.
You.
Probably. Well, just to confirm that they are going to provide the water. There was mentioned that there might be a water pump in the middle of the complex.
I think there's a letter in the information we were given to that effect. In fact, I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you this book. You can go and share that with your neighbors. This is in the record in the Planning and Zoning Office, but you can have my copy if you want, because I could probably get another one. A lot of those things are answered in there, and everything that is in the file is considered to be on the record, having been submitted. And the file is always available for you to go look at it at any time beforehand. But as a practical matter, I know that's difficult for folks to do. But for information purposes, you may have that one.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I greatly appreciate it. I'm sure my family will also appreciate your kindness.
All right.
Another question that Mr. Lank inquired about was the what's called the Trussell Pumping Station Transfer Station, just 2 miles away. Likewise, there's no information presented on that other than that's a theory, and I would think that the commission or your panel would.
Well, it's a little more than a theory at this point, but it's pretty much on its way to becoming a reality, but it's going to take some time.
Okay, so
that's what our concern is.
So then there actually is, this is underway, and for the folks out in the audience, so what they're saying about this is actually going to happen because in between this property and the Charleston site, there's the James Branch, which is a tributary of the Nanticoke River and Chesapeake Bay, so I'm sure there are a lot of environmental issues.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
All right, sir, we thank you. Mr. Lank, could you give us...
In the last section of that booklet, there's a letter from Tidewater Utilities that makes reference to a willing to serve and able to serve, that they can serve the project once they complete the Charleston Ponte.
Mr. Lank, can you give us maybe a status report on that, on the Trussell Pond situation? They're approved now, is that right?
They just received approval from County Council in the last couple of weeks.
Right.
And now they proceed with all the agencies to try to acquire their necessary permits so they can begin construction. And as stated by Mr. Key several minutes ago, it may take 18 months to get all the approvals and to be able to start. And once they start, it probably will take approximately 10 months, I believe.
Or a year after that.
Here to get completed.
And a copy, of just to add to what Mr. Lank said, a copy of the conditional use recommendation that came from Planning and Zoning, and he said that it got its approval from County Council is also in tab 11 of the book that was just handed out. So that's part of the record also, even though that's an ordinance now at this point.
Okay. Who's next? Yes, ma'am. Right here.
Hi, my name is Kim Beecham, and I lived on Hitch Pond Road for 25 years.
Okay.
When it was a dirt road originally. I just wanted to get them to define what do they mean by improvement to Hitch Pond Road? Are they talking about paving it? When I moved there, it was, like I said, dirt, and then they just started tarring and chipping it. That's the only thing they've ever done to it.
Okay.
And that's why, the sides, like they're talking about, is beaten up and torn up.
Okay.
So I think that maybe explaining that might help.
I'll find out for you.
tell everybody. The pumping station, he keeps pointing like right to the tip of the pond.
No.
How close is that actually to my lot?
Where's your lot?
It's
right there.
Well, this is 500 feet, so it's okay. Easily 1,000 feet.
Okay. And that would be put in like first, I'm assuming.
Yes.
Before, because, well, my husband does sewer and water, so I have a better understanding than a lot of people here. But so that would be put in, pardon me, so that you could supply it, needless to say, to the first homes that are built, correct? And then
nodding his head, yes.
Buffer zone would be around that somehow, correct?
Yeah. Well, you need to talk
sorry.
To me.
Sorry, I'm sorry.
We'll talk to him. We're going to let him talk after you talk. We're letting you talk first.
Okay. That was, and then in the area that they called the Big Dipper, or somebody called the Big Dipper?
Yes, ma'am.
They mentioned possible pumps or an additional well if needed.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other comment that caught my interest was, and other utilities that may be required in the future. So I was just wondering what that meant.
That's a good question. I'll find out.
Okay. And then could that area grow? Or is it?
What do you mean grow?
Well, it's defined right now, but
for the utilities,
for the utilities,
saying, could that expand that area?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying, because right now it's defined, but when they're saying in the future,
if they come in for
not without having to deal with us,
yeah, they'd have to come in for
that,
site plan
approval.
They'd
have some explaining to do if they wanted to make it any bigger.
And then, I, hearing the talk and the questions,
that's fine.
The Trussell Pond water and sewer site.
Yeah.
It would just run down the right-of-way, like you're saying, down the side of the street, cross 24, come and then on the right-of-way all the way down.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the length of the development is what my assumption is.
Okay.
And then the hookups would then be laterals and stuff into the properties from there. People are not understanding, I guess, what the right-of-way is. Like,
the right-of-way is going to be the state roads. I mean,
right,
that's what,
but I mean,
not,
I think
it's not just
general,
the width of the pavement.
Right. I know.
Yeah.
I understand.
I know you do. Well, I'm telling
but a lot
people,
of people
folks
don't,
out here that the road might only be 24 feet wide or
it
something.
It goes from the center of the road so far out, right?
Right. But the total width might be 60 or 70 feet.
Right.
So they're not going to be on your property, but you might feel like they're in your front yard for a little bit. But once it's underground, you won't know the difference.
Okay.
Is that it? Okay, Mr. Key, would you come up and address the lady's concerns, please?
Yes, sir. I think one of the questions was whether or not the pump station that's here would be in a buffer.
Yeah.
The answer is no. It's an open space area right alongside the road for easy, you know, access for maintenance purposes.
For alongside the interior road. It's 1,000 feet from the lady's lot and probably 1,500 feet from 24, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
And the pump housing is underground, encased in concrete. I mean, there's not any, except for the generator and some vent pipes, there's not anything above ground.
That's correct.
If you're worried about noise and so on, it's underground, so it's not likely you're going to hear much.
Nor see much, really.
See much, for that matter. It's not going to be much, but it'd be a generator maybe up there. But, so. But anyway, okay, thank you. All right. Okay, I'm sorry, Mr. Key. Mr. Gordy's got a question.
When are you proposing to put the buffers in? Would that be the buffers around the?
Well, the buffers will always be there.
Well, I'm saying.
Do you mean
the planting buffers? Will you put those up before?
Would you plant them right away if
it's part of the phasing?
Well, it would go in with the phasing.
Phasing.
Yeah, as the community develops, the phasing or the landscaping would go in with that phase.
Okay. Okay, anybody else wish to speak in opposition? All the way in the back. Yes, sir, in the multicolored sweater.
Good evening, sirs. Good evening, Mr. Chair, Mr. Wheatley. My name is Doug Taylor. I live over at 15019 Trap Pond Road in Laurel. I have three areas of major concern and a couple of questions. I just want to ask one right off the bat. They're talking about road improvements required at Route 13 and 24. That's 3 miles away. Mm-hmm. Why would that affect this, except for the traffic volume? It's already been done, it looks like.
There's your answer.
Okay, that one's done. Okay, first impact question, culture shock. The first area of concern is I'm a veteran school teacher, and I'm now retired. I taught at Sussex Tech and ran the criminal justice technology there for 5 years as department chair. My program started with 15 kids. When I left the ship, there were 175 kids in my program. That's a lot of work for two teachers. My average class size started with 35 to 44 in an exploratory round, which I handled by myself without a teaching assistant. I did 9 exploratory groups a year. By the time I left there, I had 175 kids come through that program a year. The majority of them are graduates and are now living in the county. By the time they get to be seniors, I had 15 left. The reason I'm bringing the impact up is Laurel High School will not be the only school that's going to have the impact. It's going to go to Sussex Tech as well. We typically get our kids at Tech from a lottery system. Probably 10 to 20, 30 kids are selected by just a random pick, and then they go to the Sussex Tech for the ninth grade program. They stay 4 years. From there, they transfer directly into Delaware Tech. Our program has matrix transferability. I'm no longer there, but I know how the program works. I helped design it. Okay, Laurel School District, 286 new students. I read the same thing you did. I had a copy of that report, which is page 20 of 21. It says the district does not have adequate student capacity to accommodate the additional students likely to be generated from this development. That is only the Laurel School District. Sussex Tech typically seats 1,200 to 1,300 students a year. We are at max and have been since we converted to a full-time school, which does not answer to the county. They go directly to the legislature for funding. So when you get your Sussex Tech bill, you're going to know where it went because they don't ask for help. Laurel School District is going to have to ask for a referendum. And I'll tell you this, morally, as a school teacher living in the trenches for a number of years with 35 to 40 crazy kids at Christmas time, you're going to wonder, where did they come from and why are they behaving like this? We do share funding with Laurel School District at Sussex Tech. It means more buses, more problems with schedules. Tech operates off of a program. If the weather's bad in Greenwood and it's a sunny day at the beach and they cancel school, it's the same problem. Laurel School District, I never taught there, but I have friends that are in the system, and I know the lady bus driver. I have yielded to her on that road a number of times. It's yield because she has nowhere to go. The road is badly, badly degraded. This is also going to be a direct conflict with the country lifestyle. How can Chickberry Farms turn to Chickberry Field and ever be country again? They're selling the country. It's going away. It's going to be developed. The area that has just been deforested behind the Justice Farm looks like the Vietnam I remember after a B-52 airstrike. It's horrible. There's stragglers, there's new growth, there's holes, there's stumps. The only thing missing are the Viet Cong. That they're not there. I mean, I realize it's not relevant, but that part. Okay, second part is the DLDOT traffic study submitted in a referendum to Mr. I can't say his name, I forgot his name. Flame out.
This point, John.
Okay, yes, sir, sorry.
Crouch.
Mr. Crouch, yes, sir. Okay, specific question about the entrances to the development. It says there will be two entrances, one on Hitch Pond Road, which I think I know where it's going to go, and then the one on Route 24, which I'm not sure if it's going to be a construction entrance or not. They're looking for a window to be completed between 2008 and 2015. Is it reasonable to ask me to put up with the traffic problems, the heavy equipment, the construction stuff that goes on for the next 7 years? How many more flat tires do I have to get after the Trap Pond development? There's numerous no passing zones. I myself have yielded to Mr. Justice, both Mr. Justices, for the farm tractors and made room for them to till the land. They move big pieces of equipment. I have seen them pass speeders past the school buses and farm equipment at the same time between Legion and Hitch Pond Road. the area between Hitch Pond Road
and 24, 449 is a straight shot, goes past Mr. Justice's house. It's part of it's passing, part of it is not passing. It's an extremely dangerous area. I'd like to know specifically, where will the Route 24 entrance be located, and will it be a construction entrance only?
It's permanent. The entrance is proposed to be one of the primary entrances to the project. That's something they stated about an hour ago.
Yeah, but we couldn't see it from the back. Where on 24?
It shows it right on that drone, in the lighter green.
Okay, so it's going to be closer to 449A, right. Justice Farm Road. All right, thank you. I need to know. That's fine. As long as I know where it's going to be.
Okay. All right. It's definitely a danger area. We had the helicopter down there last week with another serious accident right in that strip of road, and that's without the development that's proposed. There's also a simple mental health issue on how much more can we, the residents, who've just endured two other developments, put up with the beep, beep, the bang, bang, the heavy equipment, the nail drivers, the equipment trucks, the gravel trucks, the concrete trucks. I know it's the cost of progress, but at 5 o'clock in the morning, I'm getting tired of being knocked out of my bed by a truck dropping a tractor trailer with a bulldozer on it. And that's not going to be affecting me, but I've already lived through it. And those folks in Shiloh Acres, too, are going to have it right behind them. There are senior citizens in that area that are living on single incomes, and they're telling me about it. So talk to you guys. Okay, so I'm forwarding that one. Okay, again, it's a direct conflict with the existing lifestyle, and it's personally down the road. It's going to cost me due to the presence of Tidewater. Tidewater is not free. They are a regulated utility. There's no one here again tonight to defend their position. But when Tidewater becomes available in the area, like it or not, when my well fails, I'm 2 miles away. But this development is going to have a two-mile leader that's going to run to that pond, the treatment facility plant, and it's honestly, it's better than no plan at all. So we're caught between a rock and a hard place. I don't want Tidewater. I don't want to pay their bill. I don't want a monthly fee. I want them to close my water and sewer. I'm one guy, just one little guy, speaking for a lot of other one little guys here. So I'm afraid of Tidewater. Okay, my specific legal part of this would be, this is definitely in level 4 guidelines, and there's a number of mandates in this same thing that you quoted a while ago. DLDOT will work with them, but, it's going to be a tough job, but they'll get it done. I know state highway guys, they work hard, just like you guys. There is the traffic problem. There's the equipment problem. There's the waste problem. There's the lift. Again, I think the lift problem has been answered, the treatment. I talked to engineer from another water company. He says they have the capacity to move a large amount of fluid through a small pipe under pressure. So,
right, so I'm going to ask you to sum it up here in about 30 seconds.
Okay, I'll complete it up. There's already been deforested areas. Tidewater is not free. It does not support the peace and dignity and the lifestyle that I bought into when I moved here. I've been here since 1958, and the noise is around construction sites is tough. You answered the Route 13 and 24 question problem. Okay, at one house per month, it will take 15 to 47 years to complete this project and sell it out, which is not really real, but that's the number that was given to us. One house a month? Come on. Three houses a month, it's still 15 years. There comes a time in life for all of us when less.
Second.
Yes, sir. Less is more.
Okay.
It's all right. Time. Thank you.
We got it. Thank you. Okay, we have heard a lot of testimony. However, if there is someone who has something different that hasn't been said already, please step up. Yes, sir.
I'm not here to speak for or against.
Okay.
But as a person who's lived here my entire life, mm-hmm. has seen development come in, mm-hmm. what I do have a problem
with. I need your name, sir.
Brooke Freeman.
Thank you.
I appreciate people wanting to try to hold a way of life, but it was a way of life that brought people here. And the farmers invested their time. When it comes time for them to cash in, I have a problem with people trying to dictate how and when they can cash in. Nobody dictates when they can cash in their stocks and bonds. They don't go before anybody. But when they come in here, if you deny them, then there has to be a means to start compensating the landowners. If they want to keep it open, then they have to start. The ones up front that allow people to come here, and I appreciate the ones that have spoken that said they've been here. I myself have seen everything change over around the Lowe's area, but I've dealt with it. But you must keep the landowner in mind when you make the decision. If you deny them, then you need to come up with some way to compensate for their loss. Thank you.
All right, sir. Thank you. Well, that was different. Anything else, sir? If you've got something different, you can speak. Come on.
My name is Herbert Wright, and I live at Trap Pond State Park, and I have two questions. One is for the sewage that's going to be pumped. Am I correct in assuming that that is going to be pumped down Hitch Pond Road?
I don't know. I'll find out. What's your other question?
And the other question is the entrance to the development off of 24. Is it real close to Jessup's Farms Road?
Well, it's shown on this drawing right over here, but I'll let Mr. Key might know how close it is to the road you're asking about. There we go. All right, Mr. Crouch, I think you're the sewer man, aren't you?
Okay, I see where you are.
Can I answer the sewer question?
I see where you are.
Got it?
My follow-up question is, that entrance there, are they going to widen 24 for a left-hand lane? I couldn't hear in the back.
Okay.
A left-hand lane into that development, and also coming from Millsboro, will there be a right-hand lane into that development? Because it's not too far from the entrance to Trap Pond State Park, and from March through November, we know the kind of traffic we get back there in the park with all the campers, and it'll cause a backup right there if there's no cutoff lane.
I'll find out for you.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Mr. Crouch, can you address this gentleman's concerns for us?
Yes, the answer is question. The answer is yes. There will be a protective left and a right hands turn into the entrance out on 24.
The answer is yes. You're going to have your left and right turns.
Okay.
All right, now.
The sewer is going down Hitch Pond.
Thank you.
We're going down Hitch Pond Road. Okay. Anybody else with something different? Okay. Anyone on the commission have any questions?
I have a question, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
And perhaps this is best for Mr. Justice. I know there's some concerns about this being agricultural land and being taken out of agriculture. What would your best guess would be about how productive this land would be if you tried to farm it?
Well, that's a good question. The past generations that have lived in this area, trend would be that you wouldn't clear an area to till it if it wasn't good soils. So the wooded area that we're going to preserve is never been tilled, and that's why it's going to stay as a protected wooded area there.
But due to the nature of the soils and as much wet areas as there are, I would presume that this is not a good farming type ground.
DBF did all the soil work, so he's probably better off to answer the types of soils that's in there.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, there again, to go into how the whole site was developed, I mean, you know, there is a, you know, that's come this back portion area. I mean, there's not, and actually on the plans that are in front of you, which actually has a little bit more detailed information with the lot types and everything as far as wetlands, I mean, there's some wet areas back here. And a lot of those areas are isolated wet areas. They're not considered wetlands. It's just they don't drain properly and they're low. So this area, which we're developing, I mean, that's being tilled as today, and they're very good soils, A, B, C soils. So, you know, and even in the back portion of it, there's, you know, B and C soils. So from the perspective of, you know, could the treeland or the woodland area be totally removed and be tilled? I'm not 100% sure because I'm not a farmer, but, you know, based on the soils type, I can't see why they wouldn't be.
So you're saying it is good productive?
Based on the soils map, they're good soils back there. So, I mean,
Mr. Johnson's question is, I believe, are they good soils for farming? You have testified that you are not qualified to answer that question.
That is, I'm not a farmer.
You can sit down.
I'm sorry.
Now, Mr. Justice, are you a farmer?
Yes.
I thought you were. Okay. Is the land good for farming?
And it's a good question.
You've already said that. I know it's a good question. I wouldn't be asking it. I don't want to be here till midnight now. Come on.
Yes, those soils are good. We have 1,000 acres of soils out there, and we grow corn and soybeans, wheat and barley, as many other farmers do in this right. area. And currently that site has turf grass on it.
Okay.
Thank you.
That's all we need.
Thank you.
Are you happy now?
I'm happy now.
Well, I hope so. Good grief. All right. Okay. Now, before we close the public hearing, okay, we're going to take a show of hands. Now, this does not make the decision, okay, for us, but we do like to know how many people are here in favor tonight? In favor. Like applicants accepted, we know you are.
Hands up, everybody's in favor.
In favor. Got one way over here, I think.
15,
yeah. Okay, now, opposed. Those opposed?
15.
Keep them up. Give us a chance to count. Just one hand now, not no two-handers. Okay, there we go. All right. Okay. I want to thank you all very much for your time, your patience. You were a very well-behaved and a remarkably good-looking group. So, that being said, I've got one more favor to ask of you, okay? Believe it or not, we actually have more business to conduct. So we're going to adjourn. If you are not going to remain, I'd ask that you would leave this room quickly and quietly because we still have business to do. Okay, we'll close the public hearing. We will invite you to spend the rest of your Thursday evening with us to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning, and we will recess for 5.